Great today. We're marching right on through Acts, and well, I'll tell you what, God is awesome. And I want you to know, God is no less awesome today than he was whenever he displayed all of his glory in the book of Acts among the early apostles and the early church. God still has the same power. Do I get an amen? There's nothing that limits God's power. The only thing that I think might keep it from being displayed is whenever we're just unwilling or dirty vessels that he can't flow through properly. So let's just make a commitment as we read these verses that we would be vessels that God can use. Amen? And we're going to see just a little bit more today about what kind of vessels that God does use and how he works through them. And we're going to see how the power of God creates the desire for God. This is an important thing to learn because I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I'm just going to ask a question. Like, do you know other people in your life who you wish had a desire for God? You just wish that they would get that desire for God. And I mean, like, we can try to talk to them and try to talk them into it. Have you ever been able to talk anybody into having a desire for God to be in their life? Really can't talk them into it. I mean, I'd love to be able to, right? And my wife really wanted me to have the same desire that she had for over a year and a half that she was following the Lord, and I just didn't have it. And I can tell you, even though I wanted to have it at times, I couldn't make myself have it. Did you ever try that? Your own self couldn't make your own self have it. Well, here's the deal. Yeah. We just wish at times that we could just trade places with an individual so they could know how we feel on the inside. But the thing of it is, guys, it's only God that can create that desire inside of them, okay? And so, like, there's some stuff that goes along with it, and they got to have a willingness to go with God and all that stuff. And, yeah, we need to witness to them. We need to talk to them about it. That way they kind of know what's happening whenever it starts to happen in them, because it's going to seem foreign to them whenever it begins to happen. In fact, I've even had guys come to me and say, man, I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel like I'm going crazy because all of a sudden, you know, I cry about the craziest things and stuff, and I don't know what's going on. It's like, it's okay. That's the Spirit of God working in you. He makes us tender. He gives us a tender heart. And for some of us, that's an unusual experience. For others, maybe not so much. But the thing of it is, we need to keep ourselves in a place where God can use us. He can speak to us. And that's what Cornelius does in this passage of Scripture. And so let's pray, and then we're going to get into this passage of Scripture. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, what we're praying this morning is you'll speak to us through these scriptures. And Lord, as we've kind of decided here together, all of us have people in our lives that we would love it if they would get a desire for the Lord. They would have a desire for you. And so Lord, we're gonna see how this happened to this young man's Cornelius in the scriptures, Lord, and how you directed him. And so Lord, I pray that we would begin to see this happen in other people's lives as well. So God, please move among us today. And Lord, we want you to create in us even a greater desire for you, Lord, that every day I live, I want to desire you more and more. I want to be more and more committed to you, more set apart for you. Lord, please put a desire in our hearts today for you in a very, very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's go ahead and just get right on into the scriptures here, verses 1 through 8, chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, the one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to learn some stuff from what Cornelius does and who he is. And we're going to learn some stuff about how to handle it whenever God gives us instruction. All right, first thing we want to see from here is who this guy is. Who is Cornelius? It says who he is. It says that he's a certain man in Caesarea, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now, we got to get our minds wrapped around this, okay? First of all, guys, I want you to understand God calls who he calls. We can't judge from the outside who he's calling. You ever get that? One time I walked up to a guy, and God told me that he wanted me to talk to this guy. But I'm going to tell you, whenever I looked at that guy, I thought, God's probably the furthest thing from the world in this guy's mind right now. I mean, he was one tough, rough-looking dude, okay? And I mean, I'll admit it, you know. Unfortunately, I was kind of judging by his appearance. But man, I'm telling you, that guy was scary-looking. And God just said, you know, he's there, you're here, and I want you to talk to him about the Lord. And so I began to talk to this gentleman about the Lord. And before I knew it, God was really working on this guy's heart. I mean, it was like whenever I walked up to him, it was like God was already working on his heart and he was waiting for somebody to talk to him about the Lord. And he was just, you know, we were just out in public. It wasn't like we had a meeting or an appointment to meet one another. And it turned out like this was the most gentle spirit on the inside of this guy that I could have imagined. And God was already had him all excited and he wanted to know more. There's no way from the outside I could have judged that. Just like with this gentleman here. Guys, I want you to understand, this sounds real simple. This is like, to us, we may think, okay, this would be like going past Scott Air Force Base and seeing a soldier like at the 7-Eleven. But it wasn't like that. This was the Italian regiment. These were the Italians who were occupying their country. These were the Italians who were under the command of Caesar, who literally was subjecting Israel to slavery. We've got to understand, this guy was the enemy. This guy was there to keep them under control. This guy was like, he was the one that so many of the Jews really hated. And in fact, he was a pretty important guy. This guy was a Gentile. To us, we say, okay, well, we're all kind of from Gentile descent for the most part as well. But no, you got to understand something. Up to this point, Jewish people thought the Gentiles really couldn't come into the kingdom of God because they weren't born into the right lineage. Now, they did have some proselytes from time to time, but for the largest part, the Jewish people thought they were just out. There wasn't nothing they could do about it. This guy was literally being called by God in a very unusual way, and you would have never known it if you didn't really know him. And this is an important thing that we've got to understand, guys. God's calling people. God's working in people today. And they don't wear a flashing sign that says, God's been working on my heart. But well, we got to be willing to get involved in their life a little bit to find out. Now we find out that this guy, this Cornelius, he was responding to what God was doing. He was responding. So we want to understand something. God directs the heart of whom he calls with a desire to know more. And that's what was happening here in this guy's life. Okay, so God was directing his heart. God was inspiring him because we can see some of his actions. He was a devout man. I underline that word devout because we're going to see that again later on in this area of Scripture. He was a devout man and one who feared God. You see, that fear of the Lord is very important, guys. This guy wasn't a Christian yet. He wasn't a follower of Jesus yet, but he understood this God whom the Jewish people, who I came here to keep under control, I see there's something special about this God that they're following. And so he too began to fear God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do I get an amen? We get away from the fear of the Lord, guys, we don't have wisdom anymore. This man had wisdom because he feared God. And not only just him, guys, so the father goes, so the family goes. Fathers, do I get an amen? The way that you live among your family makes a difference. You see, this gentleman here, not just his family, but also the rest of his household. We find out he's got servants too. And later on in this area of Scripture, we're going to find out even his servants listened and saw that the master of the house was really given to be fear of God and to follow God. Now, he gave alms. What is that? What's alms? Alms, everything? What? It's like gifts to help the poor, right? So he gave alms. He gave part of himself to try to help others who were in need. And he gave generously. And who was he giving it to? The people. Okay? And he prayed to God always. But then we find out, because it was his responsibility to respond, he was responding to what God was doing. Guys, it matters what we do. He wasn't even a believer fully yet in Jesus Christ. And Jesus had come and he didn't understand it all, but he was acting on the faith which God gave him. We need to act according to the measure of faith which God has given us. And so God had put a desire in this man's heart because of the fear of the Lord to try to help the poor. And later on we find out it came up as a memorial before God. We get a peek into heaven here. We get to see that this man had been giving over a period of time and he didn't see an immediate reward, but he sees a reward. How many of you have been visited by an angel who spoke to you? Not many, but this man did, and it was at least in part because he was acting upon the faith that God had given him. He was taking responsibility to respond to the grace that God was giving him. And the thing of it was, guys, he wasn't really just like handing the money to God. He was helping the people that God cared about. It matters what we do to each other. And let me just dare say, it matters what we do to those who are in need. Do I get an amen to all of those? It matters so much that a guy who just had a little tidbit of faith who acted on it winds up getting a visit from an angel and told, you send for this guy, he's going to come and tell you everything you need to know. He didn't say to get saved, but we know it was so that he could truly be saved. Saved from his sins. Saved forever. Have a place in heaven forever. And it was because he was responding to the faith which had been given him. Okay? He is found. God is found by those who seek him. How many of you all are seeking the Lord? I heard one. I got one guy in this church that's seeking the Lord. All right, I see one nodding. Come on, guys. Let's hear a real amen. Are you seeking the Lord? I pray to God that we are all actively seeking the Lord. You see, there is no promise to those who don't seek the Lord. Seeking is an active word. That is a verb. How often do you seek the Lord? How do you seek the Lord? What do you do to seek the Lord? Because it's an action word. How are we seeking the Lord? Well, we can see this guy was seeking the Lord by praying. He says he prayed continually. That means he prayed every day and probably multiple times of the day. And so we see God was found by this man who was seeking him. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, calling him by name, Cornelius. And when he observed this, he was afraid and he said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, this is the part, I just cannot overstate this. Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before the Lord. Do you think your prayers and your alms ever come up as a memorial before the Lord? Well, if you're not praying and you're not giving, then it ain't, folks. But if you are praying and you are giving generously, it is. And you may not know when, and you may not think it is, but I'm telling you, if you don't, it won't. This man was, and it did, and God responded, and I just put in parentheses there, God sees. He's the God who sees. What's the name for God that goes along with it? Elroy E. He's the God who sees. And I'm telling you, he sees all the good we do, and he also sees all the bad we do. Amen? So there ain't no use in trying to hide from God. The best thing we can do is just obey his voice and try to just go with him in what he is doing. And that's what we see Cornelius doing. Does it pay off for Cornelius, folks? It pays off. He gets a heavenly visit. So God uses the devout followers as well. There's that word devout. The word devout is a pretty important word. What does devout mean? Anybody tell me? being devoted. That's just it. Being devoted to something, and here we see being devoted to God. And so the angel who spoke to him and departed, when he had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants. Remember, him and his whole household had faith because of his faith. He was acting on it, and it was affecting everybody around him. When you act on your faith, does it affect everybody around you? Come on now. I'm not getting much witness. Are you guys tired this morning? Do we need to turn down the air conditioner a little bit? Are you guys feeling hot out there? All right. So, no. I mean, obviously, when we act on our faith, it affects everybody. So now I'm going to ask you the converse. If you don't act on your faith, or you act faithless, does it affect everybody around you? Absolutely. And so this man was acting on faith, and he knew that he had these two people in his household. Listen to the household servants and a devout soldier. This would have been another man in the Italian regiment who he was over, guys, and he calls them to himself, and he said, this is what God told me through an angel. Guys, let me tell you something. When God tells you something, you need to go ahead and share it with some other people around you you know you can trust. There's some accountability in that, and they can help you get where you need to be. So he shares this. And these were the people who were with him all the time. They understood where he was at. And so when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. This was the A team because he knew he could trust them. They had faith too. These were other people who understood where he was at. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe as you read the rest of this chapter of Scripture, which we're going to do next week, I believe all of these folks had some expectation of what was going to happen next. When you get visited by God and he gives you a word, whether it be through an angel, through the word, through a vision, whatever, and you know it was God that spoke, I want you to expect to find something supernatural. And that's what's fixing to happen here. And so as we see these guys, they just went. We see another one of these devout people. You see, God works through those who are devoted. Okay? Just like if we don't pray and we don't give, it'll never come up before God. If we're not devoted, I think God just says, yeah. He just really don't even bother with us. Are we devoted? Are we devoted to God, the living God? Are we devoted? Does he have our whole life? Because if he don't, I don't think you're really going to hear much. I don't think you're really going to like have too many experiences with God. But once you get devoted, things begin to change. I know I kept waiting for God to knock me in the head, you know. Like, I'm real. You just need to get on with it. But guys, it wasn't until I surrendered my heart that night, and I didn't even know for sure totally what I was surrendering or what it all looked like. I just said, God, if you'll save me, I'll give you everything. It ain't much. It's pretty broken, but I'm giving you everything because I got nothing else. And after making that commitment to just give him everything, it was like God began to open my eyes. I began seeing stuff that I just didn't even know. And you know what? He wasn't going to show it to me until after I gave my heart to him. And it's the same way as we walk along the way of life. I found out after about 5 years trying to follow the Lord, I wasn't giving him everything. And it wasn't no wonder he wasn't opening up doors for me. I was getting real frustrated. I was like, God, I'm really trying to serve you most of the time. And you know what he said? What about the rest of the time? And you know, it was the rest of the time that was hanging me up. I just couldn't get anywhere. I couldn't get any traction in my walk with the Lord because I wasn't really fully devoted to him. Can I get an amen to that? Has anybody else ever experienced that in their life? I just wasn't fully devoted to him. I was partially devoted to him, and I was trying to talk him into that. That ought to be enough. You ever bargain, you know, you buy something and you go to the person and you kind of bargain with them? I was trying to bargain with God. Man, he drives a tough bargain. He wouldn't give on nothing. Praise God. Because you see, God's faithful and he wanted my whole heart. Do I ever struggle still today? Absolutely. Every day. It's another day to try to figure out how I can be totally devoted to the Lord. But guys, we can't give up because you see, he uses the devout people. You look at the history of the church, guys, I'm going to tell you something. The people who went on before us that we kind of stand on their shoulders now, man, some of these missionaries, they were devoted. We've read stories about missionaries that, I mean, you need to read about the missionaries. A lot of these folks that went into foreign lands and they were the first ones on the soil. There's a guy named Adoniram Judson who went into the land of Burma and I guess it was like in the 1800s, am I right on the date? Late 1700s. Man, how many wives did he lose while he was there? At least one, two, three, something. But he gave his life to the Lord. He was tortured by the Burmese people. You wouldn't believe the way they treated that man, but he continued to love them, pray for them, reach out to them. He even wrote a Bible in their language, and do you know to this day, that is still the translation they use in Burma. It has lasted for so long. It is unbelievable what God has done through just his work, because he was devoted to the Lord, wholly devoted to the Lord. We could continue to talk about more and more people in that way, and maybe in the days to come we ought to take more looks at them, even here in this church. But what I want you to understand is the issue is being devout. The issue is being devoted to the Lord. You know, Jesus dealt with the centurion during his time walking on earth as well. It was kind of interesting, if we look back at Matthew chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, Jesus heard it, he marveled. Y'all remember this guy? He came looking for healing for his servant. And he was really concerned about his servant. You know, we kind of see something there. We see a loyalty going on there. And so he said, you don't even have to come to my house. All you got to do is just say the word and it'll happen, right? And so Jesus saw his great faith. And it shocked him that this man, he saw this centurion. And listen to what Jesus says about it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Surely I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel, not even among his own people, those people that were called by his name." This guy showed such faith. He said, "And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast down into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Dare I say, folks, if Jesus were to come today, would he find faith in this church? Would he find faith in our hearts? You see, it shows through our actions. These guys were centurions. These guys were, you know, kind of like the, almost like the enemy as considered by Israel. They were the ones who were occupying this area for a foreign land, subjecting to slavery. They could command these guys to carry their pack for a mile, and they couldn't argue. They had to do it. It's just the way it was. They were kind of despised among them, but some of these guys were the ones that showed the greatest faith. And Jesus said, it ain't who you claim to be in this world that's going to help you on that day. It's going to be the ones who truly show faith. And so the question we need to ask ourselves, are we truly showing faith? Are we truly living by faith? Are we truly devoted to him? Are we truly giving our all to him? Are we helping the poor? You notice that's a kind of a big deal to God. It matters to him. And not just poor in money, but I mean poor in spirit. Whenever somebody else is in need, do we care? Do we move toward them to help them? Because God recognizes all those things. He directs the heart of those who desire to know more. And who is it that basically builds that desire in a person? It's God himself. If you want more of that desire, here's my encouragement to you today. Just ask. Just ask. You know, he'll give me more desire. I remember I went to a Promise Keepers one time. There's a whole bunch of guys. This was a men's movement back in the 90s. And a whole bunch of guys around the early 2000s. There was probably maybe 20, 30,000 guys there to worship Jesus. And there was a whole bunch of guys in there screaming about how much they love Jesus. You know, and they were saying it together, kind of as church groups, and it kind of made me a little uncomfortable. Did you ever have that experience? You know, you're uncomfortable, and you just don't understand why, because, like, I thought I loved Jesus, too, but it just made me uncomfortable. I went home that night, and I prayed. I said, "Jesus, I don't think I love you like I should. It bothers me. So please give me a greater desire." And, you know, I found through the years God has honored that prayer. He just continues to build my desire and my love for him in greater ways. So if you realize today maybe you need a little more desire, just ask. And my second encouragement to you is, if you see somebody else that looks like they need that desire, you can't force them. Just ask. Because it's God who creates the desire in them. And it can be to the most unlikely person at the most unlikely time. But I'll tell you what, when God puts it in there, they'll move heaven and earth to get that desire satisfied.
They'll even pick up their Bibles and read each night. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen to the church if every one of us and called ourselves Christians actually read the Bible every day? It's a life changer. You want to know more about God? Ask for more desire and then read His Word. And I'll tell you what, you'll be visited from heaven on high every time. This Word is God speaking to us. He don't have to send angels. Cornelius didn't have one of these. The full Bible, New Testament, no. He didn't have one. So God sent an angel to tell him, go search for this guy, and he'll bring you the message. Guys, you don't have to send an angel to us anymore. We already got the complete thing. Right here, this is the message to us. Now, he may still send an angel. If he does, cool. Of course, everybody that's ever seen one so far got scared. How many of us like to be scared? Well, we probably should be, because they're powerful. But guys, we can have a visit from God every day. It's our choice. We can even have multiple visits. We can read it more than once a day. And God will speak to us every time if we just go to Him and ask. Let me pray for us, okay? Dear God, what we see is You started moving in this man's heart before he even became a Jesus follower. Lord, if we're a Jesus follower, it's because You came to our hearts and sparked something in us too and gave us a desire. And You sent somebody to tell us. Now help us to be that one to go tell others. And Lord, let us not get discouraged if we sow that seed and some of the ground seems pretty hard. We're just going to keep praying, because what softens that ground is really the Holy Spirit causing that desire, and that seed can take root. Lord, help us to be patient. It's You that brings the desire, and You do it when You wish. And Lord, help us to continue to do the things in our own lives that's going to encourage us to grow in You. I love the way Cornelius hadn't even totally understood it all yet, but he was acting on what he had. So Lord, we've all got a measure of faith in this room, or we wouldn't be here. I pray we'll act on the faith You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.